butt sucking.
Legit Bat Podcast.
Pee and poop.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Fuck you.
Fox News, Huffington Post, the left, the right, Trump, Breitbart, Facebook, none of these things are your enemy. Your enemy is ignorance.
So I'm Joe, this is Jen, obviously.
I poop at parties.
Jen poops at parties.
I do
Everyone
not
knows.
Poop at parties.
Does she poop behind the punches bowl?
I poop so no one's knows.
Yeah, we closed the door so that nobody may know.
No
if nobody knows
know.
That joke, look up Flula on YouTube. It's fucking hilarious.
Jennifer poops at parties.
He's a German guy. I'm pretty sure he overdoes the German thing, but it's still funny.
He's
doesn't
German?
Matter.
I thought he was Swedish. He's German?
I thought he was German.
I don't know.
Kyle, how are you? Big Dumb, how are you, gents?
What's up, man? Good to see you.
Doing great.
Are you guys outside right now?
I am outside on an upper deck. So, yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
Beautiful. We should call this episode The Upper Decker.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never know what to call these shows because the Sunday shit show, they're just shit shows. We just talk about whatever. So, I don't know. I never know what to name them. So, I just
put The Upper Deck shit show? I don't know.
We're having on.
I think that might be good.
Mr. Jeff, I don't believe I've had the pleasure of being introduced to you. How are you?
Well, how are you?
Good.
We were doing introductions before you got on. I found him through a show that our homie and a patron, I told him I'd do a shout out for a show again, Matt, over at the Great Deception Podcast. He had him on, and what a great find. This dude's amazing. It's a like hour and a half, 2 hour show, something like that. And I listened to it last week, and like I was telling him, that same day I had to go buy a couple crystals because that's what he was talking about. So now I'm a crystal wearing hippie, so that dude that hated on YouTube is
I didn't buy any to wear, but I took I bought a ton of rocks, and I actually took the ones that spoke to me before I even finished the show and stuck them all in my purse because my purse is always on me, so I have all these crazy rocks just in my purse chilling.
I just bought three of them today.
Yeah.
Hey, where's the best place to wear a crystal on your or in your body? Where's the best place?
Your butt.
Up your bum.
Whoa, that escalated quickly.
Where's the most energy concentrated? I don't know.
I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do. As a rule, wearing it on your chest is cool. It keeps it close to the heart space. You've got three chakras above and three chakras below the heart chakra. So it's kind of a central, all affecting, all encompassing energetic point for you to, crystals work with vibration, right? So your body carries vibrations and different crystals carry different vibrations. So how they work is when they enter your field, they're just altering your vibration. So the more central that point can be, the more evenly, you know, distributed that's going to be. There are certain crystals that are going to affect the upper chakras and certain crystals that are going to affect the lower chakras. So it's hard to answer that question like definitively, but on your chest is a good place. The left side is more of the feminine entry point, whereas the right side is more masculine. That's the exporting. So if you're going to keep one in your pocket and it's something that you're trying to absorb, you're going to want to keep it on the left side. If it's something that you're trying to release, then you're going to want to carry it on the right side.
So that was interesting because I didn't mean to do that, because the whole thing that made me want to have him on is on the show. He was like, if you're going to like get into crystals or whatever, just go in there and pick out the ones basically you think look cool. I'm like, okay. So we went into the store and I just picked out a couple. I was like, I like this color and this look, and ended up getting, I think it's like either a smoky quartz or what you were saying, the Lemurian quartz. I can't tell. But the other one's like jade, so it's green, and I send him the picture right after I got him, and jade is the color, or green is the color of your heart chakra. Just right. Happened to be wearing it right there too, so I thought it was pretty cool that
it's
it happened
absolutely
like that.
Crazy that we are talking about this. I just took a trip an hour north up to Mount Shasta, and me and Lene spent all day going around.
Oh, and you cut
out. That upper deck, man.
That's the upper deck. Every that was going to be a really cool story, too. No bad story ever started with I was up at Mount Shasta.
Right.
Yeah.
Ben, can you guys hear me now? My ear there you go. Sucks. Anyway,
it's okay.
So
what happened?
Me and Lene went up to Mount Shasta and spent all day going around to these crystal shops. I ended up buying three, first crystals I've ever bought, and I did that exact thing. I looked at the ones that I were like, you know what? I'd wear that. If I wore crystals, those would be the ones.
Yeah.
So
ones
I just picked
to.
Out. Yeah, I picked out the ones that I thought were cool. They were completely mislabeled, and I really didn't give a shit. One of them is completely man-made. It's just basically a fake. And then the other two are ones that, honestly, I'm not really sure what they are. Her and I tried to look it up, but I think it's absolutely bananas that we're talking about this right now. Because
I know,
because
I did not get with you on this. He never knows.
About,
Ben never knows what's
going
on. That's
the way it goes,
on,
so. Man.
I never know what's going on. Everything that I do is off the fly. But just 4 days ago, I just bought... two of, by the way, shout out to Rogueways and Lindsay Sharman. I just bought two of her Orgonite crystals as well.
Oh, nice. I've been meaning to do that too.
We're going to be in Denver soon, so we're going to pick up some of hers when we're there.
Where does one acquire said crystals? Like, I don't want to go to the mall and go to Earthbound. Is there a better
look up crystal shop?
I went to a guy downtown. I got rocks. I don't know if it was the same kind of rocks though, because he was on a street corner in a really dirty part. I don't know.
They were a little blue.
Did I do it right?
Are they a little blue?
We want the kind
you ran
carry,
around
not
for
the
a
kind
half
you
hour.
Smoke.
Yeah.
Kyle, I know. I've been there. I know the same guy. Yeah, he's got great prices.
Okay. I mean, it didn't have the effect that I expected it would, because my wife and family hate me now. So
it definitely affected your fields,
right.
Though.
And now you need more, right? You just go get
exactly.
more.
It
I think that'll make
you...
it better.
It did
energy.
Give you superpowers, though, right? I mean, you could fly
slightly,
for a little
yeah.
bit.
So, yeah, and I was also very angry. But
he's like, I couldn't feel anything for a whole day.
The,
it was weird.
This is the one that I got that was a fake. It is called Goldstone. It
clearly
is supposed to be... It is,
it's
well, no,
man-made.
It's got these little... Yeah, it's man-made. It's supposed to have these like little gold Fleckertons in it. And it is 925 silver so that it doesn't, you know, like turn green and shit, which is good. We went to several, and she said that was the one that she trusted the most. It was an extensive shop. I cannot believe how much shit they had in there. They had bowls that you run around the rim, and they were like fucking huge bowls to make all the sounds. We walked into this one place. Yeah, that's going to be, Joe, that smoky quartz. That's what's going to look more like the one that I got from Lindsay, but it's going to be a clearer quartz, and then it's going to have the orgonite, and then she's got some amethyst and some other shit that she entrapped in it.
Now,
not
where
mention,
did you go in Shasta? There's like Crystal Keepers, and that's my buddy Blue Wolf shop. And
so
then...
Crystal Keepers was actually the very first shop that we went in. And
okay.
then if you go directly across that street, because there's another one right next to it called Heart and Light. And I'll tell
right.
you about that one in a minute. Heart and Light has got to be one of the most awesome places that I've seen. The rooms that you weren't allowed to go in the back. Like,
oh, I've been in them.
The prayer rooms for blessing all
yeah.
of the different things.
Yeah.
He told me about Biogenesis, which I had never heard of,
right.
And the crystal pyramids
about.
And shit. And
yeah.
like, it was bananas. And he was so knowledgeable and just very friendly about it. But the place that we ended up buying the crystals from is right down the street from that. She said that that's where she had bought them before. Again, I know nothing about
you're
any
talking
of this shit.
Cosmic.
Can we? So can I hear from you? Jeff, I guess, is that your first name? Why are crystals so important? I want to hear that, because we
yeah.
and our listeners probably have no idea what we're all talking about
yeah,
right
give
now.
Give us an intro to this.
So yeah, let's hear about what you have to say.
Crystals are something that I try and introduce people to, because it's a very simple, very practical thing that can make very tangible and it's they're undeniable changes, whether they're change. And I think that the first thing that they change is your perspective, and change in perspective will lead to changes all over the place. So
absolutely,
if you can step outside the box and accept that something like carrying a stone in your pocket, or meditating with a stone or sleeping with a stone next to you can make an impact in your life, then it opens the door to all kinds of other things that can change your life, whether it's subtle energy or whether it's alchemy or whether it's, a lot of people aren't even open to things like this. We're told it's kind of a pretty taboo thing, or it was in the way that I was raised, as far as like I was taught that it was this new age thing, I was taught that it was dark, I was taught that it was all kinds of things that
Joe and I
keep
as well
me away from it. And so I was very apprehensive about it. And I got to a point in my life where I knew what wasn't working for me, right? And what wasn't working for me was the same shit that was happening to me every day and the same cycles that I was stuck in. And so I figured I was going to find what did work for me by basically eliminating all other roots, right? And so it started as, I mean, I found them by accident. I was kind of seeing this girl and she snuck one into my backpack. And I never saw her again. And I noticed that I felt a certain type of way when I held on to this thing. And so I wanted more. I mean, I kind of thought she was a weirdo, to be honest. she was all about crystals and charging them in the moon and carrying them with her and stuff. And I didn't understand it at all. And once I kind of got a taste, I decided to explore that a little bit. And it kind of snowballed for me. Within 7 or 8 months of my first experience with a crystal, I was writing blogs for one of the larger crystal distributors in the country and getting paid to research and write about them. And a lot of it was intuitive for me. I didn't have to study near as much as I thought I was going to have to. It was something that I was able to kind of tap into, and you could call it download, you could call it whatever you want, but it opened a lot of doors for me. And once I realized that subtle energy was very real to me, it made it easier for me to not really give a shit whether it was real to anybody else or how anybody else perceived my practice or what I was doing or how I was changing my life, because I knew that it was working for me.
We just talked about that the other day about, you know, if it works for you, even if they want to call it a placebo effect, if it works, fuck it.
How many people have taken a water pill and healed themselves, you know, in placebo studies? And
or drinking unalcoholic or a non-alcoholic beer and felt and acted completely fucked up because they didn't know.
Right. And so the human mind is a very powerful thing. And a lot of my practice, whether it's alchemical practice or practice with crystals or whatever, is about unlocking the potential of the human animal. And so I believe that we are all co-creators of this experience, and what we're here to do is transmute an experience that's handed to us into a more favorable experience. I dealt with a lot of trauma and a lot of bullshit as a child and tried to deal with that with alcohol. I was a pretty heavy drinker for 17 years, like half gallon a day kind of guy. If I didn't have a drink by 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, I was sick. I was the guy that went to work with airplane bottles in my pocket and would sneak away to go pee in the bushes and slam one down and throw it into the dumpster and climb back up onto the roof. And I mean, I worked harder than anybody else. Nobody knew. I was a very functional alcoholic. I just wasn't happy, you know? Yesterday was 3 years without liquor for me. And
congratulations, dude.
Congratulations, man.
I posted yesterday that it was like, it took me a year to figure out that I had absolutely no idea who I was after I quit drinking. And then it took me a year to figure out that that was okay. And then it took me a year to figure out who I was and what I was into and what I wanted to do and who I wanted to be. And so it's been kind of a long process, but also 3 years in the grand scheme of things isn't that long to go from, you know, the unhappiest person I knew to the happiest person I knew. And now I'm sitting here on a podcast talking about what I love and introducing it to other people. I feel like before it was like trying to find somebody to listen to me without just hoping that I would shut up about whatever I was studying or whatever it was that I was into at the time. And now I've got people that are interested in it, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share what I do and what help change my life with other people. I never met anybody who said, you know, my life was great till I started carrying rocks in my pocket, you know. It can't hurt, and
depends,
if it makes
on the rocks,
you feel good,
Kyle.
that's true. As long as you can't smoke them, they can't hurt you, I think, is a fair rule.
Thank you. I wish I would have talked to you
well
yesterday.
I do have same a question crack for you there, Jeff, on that 3 year sober ride, which, it's funny how functioning alcoholic, nothing really changed for you. And then as soon as you got sober, you had 3 very drastic years that completely changed how you looked at everything. do you ever look at how you look at things now and think about how you looked at them back then? And that difference of just like when you're going through your regular day now, a healthy person who's enjoying life, loving what they do, and then you think back to the person that you were and you go, holy fucking shit, dude. Explain a little bit how that journey has been and how it feels now to be completely centered with that.
A big part of the shift for me was changing the question, like, why is this shit happening to me? Into what can I learn from this, or what can I take from this, right? Because
shifting the blame away from that into how can I fix it? Yeah.
Right. And not necessarily fix it, because I'm of the belief that like things just are. There aren't good or bad things that happen in our lives. It's I think that we place all of this in front of ourselves. I think that we dictate this experience, and the things that we experience are meant to be experienced. And I think that we will continue to experience these things until we learn what we're supposed to learn from them. So we can avoid the shit and we can run from it for as long as we want, but the universe is going to continue putting it in our lap until we face it and we deal with it. And I spent a lifetime living in fear, whether it was fear of getting my ass kicked by my stepdad, or fear of rejection from my mom and carrying around mommy issues, or fear of rejection of my partner, or fear of rejection from my friends, to a vibration of creation. And I dictate my experience, right? I understand the principle of cause and effect, and that every effect is directly related to a cause. And I am now the cause of my experience, as opposed to the effect of someone else's experience, right? You can either be a creator, or you can be a master of your experience, or you can be a victim.
So you're practicing action versus reaction then?
Right, right. And I think that the pendulum's going to swing, right? For every ounce of light, there's going to be an ounce of dark, right? And for every positive thing that happens in your life, or every happy thing, there's going to be an unhappy thing that happens. And being able to anticipate those happy things and transmute those happy things into usable energy, because I'm of the belief that negativity is never released. You can't release negativity once it enters your being. Once it's there, and it's your job to transmute that into something usable. So I call this place Earth School, right? And Earth School is gonna feed you lead, right? That's all you get here is bullshit. And it's your job to turn the bullshit into gold and create wealth from this lead that is being handed to us. And until you can look the bullshit in the face and take it on the chin and continue moving forward and dictating your experience, I think you're doomed to be stuck in the same repetitive, perpetual cycles that a lot of us get wrapped up in here. I mean, I think that 90%, maybe not 90%, 80% of the people in this country are settling, right? You live on a budget, you trade 40 to 70 or 80 hours of your life every week for Monopoly money that puts a roof over your head, right? And you're trading energy, and all Federal Reserve banknotes are is just a gift card for somebody else's energy, right? Like when you buy gold, you're not buying the gold, you're buying, gold is expensive because it's hard to attain. So you're buying the man with the pitchfork in the wheelbarrow who climbs the mountain and beats the gold out of the earth and then smelts it down into a gold bar and distributes that to jewelers, right? You're buying the energy that it takes to acquire the gold. And when you're trading your energy for banknotes, which is just a gift card for somebody else's energy, and you're not thinking about it as it, when you're thinking about currency as value, right? Because currency is just two words. It's the word current, which is the flow of energy, and it's in C, which is a vast area. So when we're talking currency, we're just talking about the way that energy flows across this plane, right? And out of context, you are willing to trade a lot of your energy for a little bit of paper energy. And when you, once you realize that that's all you're dealing in, and you can start to really weigh the pros and cons of the energetic exchange that's going on and the energetic sacrifice that you're making to facilitate this this paper money, it changes things. And like, crystals aren't cheap. I mean, if you went to the crystal shop, you probably noticed that some of them are pretty expensive, and it's hard to in the same breath say that you need to stop trading your life for dollars but also start acquiring expensive crystals. But I've never spent a penny on crystals that I didn't get back two or three times. And I think that a big part of that is living by a model of abundance as opposed to a model of scarcity.
Holy shit, dude. Welcome to the fucking shit show. That was probably one of the best. Jesus Christ. That was probably one of the best captivating speeches. And I didn't mean to cut you off if you got more to say, for sure.
I appreciate that.
Just sitting here like, what do I do then? You know?
Yeah, like, I don't have shit to say to that. Like, as soon as you put it the way that you just described the gold and how, you know, it goes from somebody that's just mining it and putting their energy into it all the way to what you see in your hands, that right there, it just completely changed my view of like what I just bought today. Because right. What I was looking at was, I'm like, oh, what's the chemical makeup of these crystals and what are they going to release? I'm a fucking knob, dude.
And, yeah, but look at what the media does, though. The media tells us that like all of these things are so important and we need to have them and we need to work every day. And that's so great. And everyone goes home and they're like, yep, I'm doing this. But as soon as you, God, spend $50 on a crystal and then realize that like, oh, all that shit doesn't matter, you're going to save a shitload of money.
I mean, well, and as soon as you realize the amount of energy in all of the different hands that it passed to get to me,
right,
is like,
that's what you're buying.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I'm buying the labor and the fruits of everybody's labor that went into me spending my Monopoly money that I spent 60 hours a week getting to get that back. Like, as soon as you said that, I was like, ah,
well, and really, okay. You're not even buying the crystal. You're buying the right to transport the crystal, right? Because if you decided to resell that and you make a penny on that, right, they're now paying for your energy, right?
Right, right.
And so you are just the temporary keeper of this sacred item, right, that you've traded paper money for, that is ultimately worthless, right? Because we're playing a big game of Monopoly. Right? That's all this is.
Yeah.
There's
trading bros.
There's only one person who wins at Monopoly, right? That you can be really successful for a really long time, but one person is going to end up with all the money and everybody else is going to end up bankrupt. And so that's exactly what's happening right now. And we've got this fiat currency that's not backed by anything, right? So is it, I won't call it money, because it's not. Money is tangible and wealth is tangible, and a piece of paper that you print that is a gift card, and because all the Federal Reserve banknote is a gift card to spend at somewhere that accepts Federal Reserve banknotes, right? There's no real value attached to it. And so there's this model of scarcity that's manufactured, mind you, because this is a plane of abundance until the early 1900s, when the medical industry and the education system and the financial system was all hijacked by a couple of families. In the early 1900s, there was abundance here, right? There was enough for everybody. And we're convinced that there's not enough land, and we're convinced that there's not enough oil, and we're convinced that there's not enough electricity, and there is not enough food, right? But all this scarcity is manufactured. They pile everybody in these big cities so they can convince them that there's not enough room. And then they fuck with the food supply, or they mess with the water, or all they have to do is shut the power off, right? Like all of this, every aspect of this experience is manufactured. And once you start to understand alchemy and you start to understand the Hermetic principles, it's just like politics, for example, is one giant stab at the principle of polarity. So they give you the illusion of choice, but first of all, free people don't vote, they elect, okay? And this is word magic that's played on us all the time. And we got into a little bit on the Great Deception the other day. But
I like it.
They're splitting everybody right down the middle. Okay. So they're not giving you a choice. What they're doing is they're creating a boogeyman. And so they split you into two camps, and they get the left camp mad at the right camp, and they get the right camp mad at the left camp. And they get them yelling at each other and blaming each other for all the shit that's happening, even though it's the head of the bird. It's the same bird, and it's the head of the bird that's making all the decisions and is the one that's got everything all screwed up, right? But they've polarized everyone and then weaponized that polarity. This is a Hermetic principle, right? All things are dual. Everything that exists on this plane chain is dual and has its pair of opposites. And so they're exploiting this by putting you on one end of the spectrum and the other, and the rhythm is what takes place in between that. But as long as they maintain these poles and they keep you committed to one side or the other, this vibration is bound to continue. And it's not going to be a positive vibration, because we're not operating in a model of abundance. We're operating in a model of scarcity. And when you have a system where value is created through supply and demand, the only way that something can become more valuable is if there's not enough for everybody to have some.
So, Hatter, let me ask you this, and whoever else was going to talk, sorry.
No, go for it, you guys.
You were talking about, you were talking about, like, you know, about the financial system, the money, things like that. So if I can ask, what do you suggest, or what are you doing to kind of combat that? Because obviously, you know, you live in a house, it looks like we all have bills to pay. So, like, there has to be some kind of balance in that, right? Because I mean, I'm 25 and I'm constantly worried about money, and way more than I should be. I'm right. Wondering, how can I make more money? What can I do? But I know it's toxic. I know it's bad for my, you know, my psyche, and I'm not enjoying life to the fullest. So what are some things that perhaps I or someone else could do to kind of mitigate that and find that balance with the bullshit system that we're forced to be in, and you know, the ideal system that we can create?
Well, it starts with understanding the energetic exchange, and understand the amount of energy that you're exchanging for the amount of banknotes that you're receiving in return, right? It's also important to understand who in your situation is making the money. When you work at a car dealership, everybody works really hard, but the only person that's making the money is the owner, right? You get a sale or whatever that's based on commission, but you only get paid when money comes in, and the majority of that money is going to a person who's doing a minimum amount of work, right?
Right.
And so the idea is to work really hard so that you can spend time with your family, or relax, or, you know, whatever it is that you would prefer to do with your time. And the fact is that while you're working really hard to try to facilitate that, someone is doing that, right? And you are bankrolling that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's creating a model, and this isn't easy, and it requires sacrifice, and it requires struggle. But I would argue that nothing worth having doesn't require struggle. But there are ways to create banknotes, right? Without being all the way into the system. I am a carpenter, right? Which I know that not everybody.
Same. I'm a carpenter too. That's what I do. Yeah.
Okay. So I stopped working for large companies, was step one. When you work for a large company, you are a part of a machine. You're a cog in a machine, which this isn't me talking down on anyone that works for a large company, but it's, this is the way that it works. When you have things that operate on a large scale, you don't have time to deal with everything on an individual basis, right? I stopped working for everyone. And started taking on custom projects. I don't work full time, and I make way more money than I was making when I worked full time. I'm in a position now where I can take a roof, right, and make $5,000-$6,000 over the course of a week or a week and a half, and I can survive for a month or a month and a half on that. And so in my summer, if I grind for, you know, 3 out of those 5 months, I can survive for the whole year now if I am reasonable about the way that I live. I'm also big on bartering. I try to trade for everything that I can trade for, whether it's something that I've grown or whether it's my labor. I understand that I can produce a job with my time much cheaper than someone can buy the same service with their cash, right? So if someone grows organic vegetables, right, and I eat organic vegetables and I repair their roof, right, a job that they would have to spend $3,000 or $4,000 of their cash on, I can do, they can buy material and I can do it with a couple days of my time. Now, if I make an agreement that I'm going to take X amount of vegetables per month from them, right, based on that repair that I do, now I'm eating for months on a project that I didn't have to invest any of my money on, right, because they bought materials and I did it in a couple days of my labor. So the energetic exchange was very small for me, right? And the energetic exchange for them was also very small, because it's a lot easier for them to give up their vegetables or their produce that they would normally have to sell to acquire banknotes and then trade a lot of those banknotes, right? Because there's a profit margin there too. So their vegetables are worth more to me than they are to them, right? Just like my labor is worth more to them than it is to me. And so that's an easy exchange for both of us to make that's hugely profitable for both of us, but the energetic exchange is minimal.
Right.
I'm a big fan of that idea, the hippie mentality of exchanging goods and services without a middleman of this stupid paper that we call money. It makes sense on, you know, in theory to do that, but every time people try to get together in a commune and do that, Waco or, you know, whatever, things turn sour pretty quick.
I think you have to, it's really hard to take that spiritual leap though and know that things are going to be okay if you just practice. Like someone actually just said it in the chat and I was going to say it. I've been doing this whole practicing just like gratefulness for my day and just hoping that everything goes okay. And it sounds ridiculous because people are like, no, like we need this, we need this, we need this, because you see it on TV. But you don't need any of that stuff. You need to just take the spiritual leap into the path that is there for you that you're not on because you're not vibrating on that plane because you're too scared to. And you're not even letting yourself get to the place you need to be. And once you do and you get to ride that whole path out, it's going to be amazing.
Absolutely. And step one is turning off the TV. Too,
yeah. One big thing I would say is, you know, it all starts with, you know, being self-aware. I think so many people in this country are not self-aware of what their strengths and what their weaknesses are. And I think that's the step towards becoming a better person, regardless of what you do and however you manifest that and where you put your energy. It's knowing, like Kyle was saying a few minutes ago, he's like, I realize I think too much about this and that. Like, that's really the first step. Because so many people are not even willing to do that. They want to think that everything they do is correct and 100% valid. And that's never the case. If you can't question yourself first, you can't manifest that self outwardly.
Right.
And well, it's like Jeff was saying, it took a year for him to find himself.
I was just
after
about to
two
say
other
that,
years. Yeah.
Right. And do you want to be righteous here? Like, do you want righteousness of self, or do you want the righteousness or acceptance in the eyes of others? Because you can't prioritize both, right? And if you are seeking to be righteous in the eyes of others, then you're talking optics, right? You're not really talking about a way of living. You're talking about the way that something is perceived by people that don't care about you or that can't understand your intention the way that you can. So your intention is either to be the best person that you can be, or your intention is to look like the best person that you can look like to other people, which is ego, right? And, you know, it was interesting that she said gratitude, because that I was having this conversation earlier on the Mind of Matters Live, and it is, everything exists in the mind before it exists in the physical, right? And this is the first principle of Hermeticism, is the principle of mentalism. And it says that, again, before something can exist physically, it has to exist in your mind, whether it's an idea, whether it's something you're building, whether it's a lifestyle that you're trying to facilitate, it always starts here. And you have to make it real here, right? And you have to experience gratitude for it when it exists here for it to manifest in the physical, which I know it sounds backwards. Like, how can you be grateful for something that isn't in your hand yet? And that's what we're taught, is when it's real is when I can hold it in my hand. But the fact of the matter is it's real much before that, right? It's tangible as soon as you can see it. As soon as you can visualize something, it's tangible and it's real. And the power of verbalizing something is also worth mentioning. The abracadabra is, as I speak, I create, right? And so words are spoken. They're not written or read. So as soon as something is written down, it's no longer a word. It's a spell, right? Because it's not called spelling for no reason, right? We're rearranging runes into spells, and we are casting them with our words. And so that's why when they tell you, like, to write down your affirmations and to speak your affirmations, this is what you're doing, is you're spelling onto a piece of paper, and then you're casting those spells into the ether, and you're making them real, because your voice is a vibration, right? And you're vibrating those things into the universe, and now those things are real, just as real as you or me or anything else. Right.
And I think one important thing about the words right there you know, kind of as a metaphor talking about, you know, the fiat currency system, and then kind of comparing to like the crystals you were talking about, like the fiat currency system, we know there's really nothing there backing it. It's like whenever you use words to gossip or, you know, talk shit about somebody or something, that's a very surface level way to use those words, right?
Right.
Where you
right.
could be, or you could be doing something kind of like we're doing here. And I know a lot of us have conversations with other people in the real world about these really high level conversations about like, why are we here? What are we doing? What's it all about? Like there's ways to use those same kind of words, but in a context that is way more powerful.
And that kind of comes back to what Jeff was saying about perception versus intention. You can have the best intention in the world and somebody's perception might be way different than that. But right. I think we were talking about that the other day. I'm like, I think as long as your intention is pure and your intent to do what you're doing is true to you, then people's perception doesn't really matter. They can think whatever they want. Like, if it offends somebody, it offends somebody, and they can move on from that, and that's their shit to deal with.
Well, and that goes, Joe, that goes back to what he was talking about whether or not you want to be true to yourself or supposedly perceived to be true by other people. It's like, if your intentions are good and you're trying to live the best life for you and you know, fuck what other people think or see, well, now you're on your path. You're not on their path anymore. They can either, you know, look at you on your path and go, well, I don't think this, that, or the other of him, but he's doing what he feels like is best for him.
Right.
It doesn't matter though, like that. But any of those people, it doesn't matter what they're thinking. If you're on that path and you're
That's
being a good person, it just doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't.
I did the same thing when I met Joe, first of all, he was a random person who messaged me online. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's going to be my husband someday. And I didn't even know what I was saying. It was super weird. We just turned out. Yeah, it was so, so strange.
That is wild. But
the same thing happened when we bought this house that we live in now. I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's my house. And I just knew it was. And we did not live there. We lived in like an apartment. It was like a duplex. And I told my daughter, I said, hey, do you want to see a picture of the house we're going to live in soon? And we hadn't even been like pre-approved for a loan. Like we had to buy it. I had no idea that we were going to get
it. Good for you.
But I showed it to her and I'm like, we're going to live here someday. I also didn't even have the confidence to know that we were going to live there someday. I just kind of told her, but we totally got it. We were the first offer, and actually we weren't the only offer, but they liked us the best. Cause when I went in, they were like, you had the best energy. We like trusted you the most. It was so weird, but I was like, there's just certain
existence.
Yeah. And there's just certain things that if people pay attention to it, you can make things happen for yourself. You don't have to try super hard.
To pay attention though, because that's currency. Right? Your attention is currency. It's not called paying attention for no reason. And if you start paying attention to who you're paying your attention to, things are going to start to change for you. And if you stop paying your attention to things that don't serve you and start paying your attention to things that do serve, because this is an investment, yeah, right?
Absolutely. It's your life.
We pay attention to where we put our dollars, right? But we don't pay attention, or we don't monitor who we pay our attention to or our energetic investments, right? Which is all manufactured, because the fact is, if the powers that be, if everybody knew what we're talking about right now, their manufactured system of control would fall apart, right? And so this is why we're taught by, whether it's by big religion or whether it's by pop culture, that the stuff that we're talking about, whether it's crystals or energy or frequency, is taboo, is because this is empowerment of self, right? Not empowerment of the machine. And if everyone empowers themselves, right, and then networks and then empowers that independent self as opposed to the machine, then the machine crumbles. Right. And so this what we're doing right here is their biggest fear. And you going to Mount Shasta, which is one of the most magical places that I've ever been before in my entire life, and trading paper dollars for something that is going to change your frequency, because your frequency is what determines your experience, right? And what determines your frequency is your energetic footprint. And your energetic footprint is determined by your intention and your vibrations, right? And so what you put out is what you get back. So as soon as you can figure out how to dictate what you're putting out, as soon as you can figure out how to change the channel that you're tuned into, you are now in full control of your experience. You are now a co-creator, right? And a co-creator isn't told what to do. A co-creator dictates the co-creating or the co-creator's experience, right? So you are a master of your experience, and you are living in your experience, and our experiences overlap, right? Like my experience is going to overlap with your experience. But if I let the overlap of this experience dictate my experience, then I'm not dictating my experience. You're dictating my experience. And so it's important. And like people, I think it's great that people want to help each other, but you can't help anyone until you've helped yourself. Right. And if you're going to help someone else, it has to be with your overflow, because if you're hurting yourself to help someone else, then it's not sustainable and you're not really accomplishing anything. And so what I preach is self-empowerment, right? And whatever you want to call it, a connection with something bigger than yourself, right? And nurturing that connection, and whether it's the earth or whether it's creative energy or whatever it is, you have to strive to be bigger than what you are. And the best way to do that is through self-love. And I think that's where all of this starts, is with self-love and self-respect and self-acceptance. And once you have that, all the other shit is kind of just details. You know, you said earlier that your intention is all that really matters. And I would argue that that is the most accurate thing that anybody could ever say, you know. And for a long time, I said it was intention and perspective that mattered, but perspective is just an opinion. You know, there's no such thing as good or bad, or hot or cold, or dark or light. You know, an example that I try to use, or I like to use all the time, is at what temperature does hot water become cold? Right.
I like
there's,
that.
There's no cutoff. And so if we pick a degree and we say, okay, 80 degree water, if you come out of 60 degree water and you stick your hand in 80 degree water, that water is going to feel warm.
Absolutely.
Right. And if you come out of 100 degree water and you stick your hand in 80 degree water, that same water, it's going to feel cold.
Right.
So the water isn't changing. The water is just water. There's and water can't be good or bad or hot or cold. All that's changing is the way that you perceive it. And how the way that you perceive it is just based on your perspective, which is based on what you've encountered in your experience.
Right. It works the same with the weather, too, where we get 110 here. And when it gets to 80, I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's cold. And then it gets down to, you know, the 40s during the winter, and then it gets to 80 during spring, and we're like, oh, it's so hot, we should go swimming.
I used to live on the East Coast, and like when it got into the double digits, I was like, oh, it's kind of warm today. So yeah, I get that.
Well, yeah, when I was in school in Northern Illinois, I mean, like 20 degrees, like above zero, I was like, man, it's balmy today. Like I need one jacket instead of four, you know?
Yes.
See, I don't need to wear my face mask. If it's not 110 degrees, it's not hot.
Oh yeah, dude. Down here, and I'm in Texas now, and I've done some roofing and things before, and it's ridiculous, dude. And this was actually a mild summer for us, but you're right. Like in Texas, it's different. Like if you're in Dallas, it's humid, or Houston, it's humid, and 90 degrees will feel like 120. But if you're in the dry heat or out in the desert and it's 120, you're like, this ain't so bad, you know.
In Arizona all day, man. I'd take Arizona roofing over Pacific Northwest roofing any day of the week, man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
100% humidity at 100 degrees is hell. Wow. That's literal hell.
Real quick, I did find the name of that place that we went up there. It was called the Crystal Room, Crystal Tones at Mount Shasta.
Right.
Just down the street from the exact place that you were talking about.
Yeah, down on the corner back towards I-5.
Yes, and it's right on the flat side of that that building. Yeah, that's where we went.
Yeah, and great shops.
To go back to it really quick to what you guys were talking about and what Jen said about her coming over here and just kind of like following that path and kind of making the jump into it and taking that risk. I so far, when it comes to this subject, I haven't taken any risks. I don't like taking risks for the most part. But when she first came over here, the first thought that I had was I was like, dear God in heaven, she is a hippie as fuck. And like she made like these like she like made like these like twine like bracelets and necklaces.
The hemp necklaces.
And I was like, oh fuck, right? And then
I
we
also
started
work
this
in the mortgage industry. To be fair, right. I'm a loan.
No.
Officer,
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Super hippie.
So I'm getting there. Just hold on a second. So when that first happened, I was like, oh okay, whatever. I don't know her, but that's fine. And then as this podcast has unfolded, and also shout out to my girlfriend as well. All of these people that I have been able to meet, Jen and Joe, big influences on that front, as well as my girlfriend. It all has changed. Like I know that you were talking about that 3-year journey. It just in the year of podcasting, so much of what I've been able to pay attention to is all of these things that I never even would have entertained before.
Right.
My entire perception has completely changed on how I view all of these individual subjects. And when you can smash them all together into an information sandwich, it changes your fucking life.
Like, well, yeah, you change your perception and you change your experience. I mean, that's
the fucking lootly. And how you were talking about manifesting it when it's up here before it's ever here. Like,
that's it.
They call people visionaries for a reason, because they saw what was going to happen way before they started the project. And they literally, like you said, spoke it into existence, or willed it into existence, or worked it into existence. Like, all of those different little facets to it. Dude, a year ago, I would have fucking called you the most ridiculous dude in the world for like 90% of the shit that just came out of your mouth. That's and at the I'm same time, here. now I'm hearing it. I'm like, yeah, that's what's up.
And totally. Like you were saying, dude, about like, you know, those visionaries speaking things into existence, and like what the Hatter said too, at the same time, it can be used for the negative, man. I mean, look at what we're seeing right now. And on like a broad scale with like the media and the powers that be, like they've got a lot of loud voices speaking some negative shit into the world.
Right.
And that in return, we kind of have to respond negatively, like not have to, but we do. But also think about like, what was I going to say? Like responding negatively, like with yourself. Like if you're like, man, I'm such a piece of shit. Like, man, I didn't do anything today.
That's
like,
the goal.
That's just going to keep going. Like yesterday, man, I didn't do shit all day. I played video games, but I wasn't having any fun because I kept losing at the game. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I just felt like crap. And I was like, man, I'm a piece of shit. So today I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to do that. I built a fucking thing, a grill shed or whatever. And I was just like, I still feel like a piece of shit. God damn it. Like, what do I have to do to get out of this? You know?
But you did something.
Exactly. But it's that voice in your head. And I think everybody struggles with this, is like, you were talking earlier about like, you know, seeking approval for others. And that's how it's like, you have to be okay with yourself first. That's the hard, I think it's easier to seek approval from others than it is.
That's why
yourself.
We do it.
Absolutely. Exactly. It's short-term energy. It's like that idea of getting on the trickle charger and healthily recharging your battery. But instead, what you do is you go get around other people that you know are going to recharge that with superficial, short-term, heavy energy. And you walk away from it and you go, ah, I feel so much better. And then the next day you wake up and you're like, fuck, I hate my life.
Well, that's
how am I
going to
make this better?
So that's why I'm here. Thanks.
Well, and a thing that I try to shed light on is like, we can call magic as woo-woo as people want to, but the fact, and this is a fact, the people who control this realm and the people who dictate our experience have a very thorough understanding of magic, of word magic, of the power of intention, of the power of perspective, of the power of your words, right? And the power of your vibrations. And that is what the TV is. Right. That is what it's called, a television, right? It's telling you a vision, and what we're watching on it is called programming. Oh, right. It's called programming. You're regularly
fucking dropping bombs, dude. Jesus.
And
Christ.
So they are programming you to carry shitty vibrations, and those shitty vibrations, okay, create a shitty experience, and that shitty experiences overlaps with other people's experience and causes them to have a shitty experience, and then they're going to perpetuate those shitty vibrations. And as long as they can keep everybody in this vibration of shit, they get to maintain control, because you're going to continue trading your shitty life for fake money, right, to have a roof over your head, and you're going to continue feeling like shit about yourself, and you're going to continue playing the game, right? Because that's all you're worth, right? That's what you deserve, right? And
you're a D-battery.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're energy to them. They want our energy, our negative energy. That polarization that you were talking about. Yes, exactly. They steal my louche all the time. That's why I feel like I don't have any super negative experiences, because when I stub my toe, I'm like, God damn it. But no, that vibration or the polarization that you were talking about earlier, like whatever side you're on, you have to strive. Everyone should try to strive to stay in the middle, no matter what. Just stay in the middle.
Be the constant.
Love people that disagree with you, and be okay with the people that you kind of want to agree with, but don't go over there. Stay in the middle. So hard. Right. And love everybody. It's what they don't want.
When you look at polarization too, think about like a battery, you know, it's polarized. Like that's how the thing functions, is because it's got a positive and a negative charge. And I think the Hatter said earlier about the two wings of the same bird. I've said this before, and I thought it was profound, but he summed it up better than I did. But in order for the fucking bird to fly, both wings have to flap together. Correct. You know what I mean? If it's going like this, it's a fucking retard bird and it's just going to crash into the ground.
And or as we call it, about the left and the right, and you were moving your hand back and forth like this. That's the rhythm that creates our existence. That's vibration, right? And that's our collective vibration, is this bullshit that's bouncing back between these two poles, right? That's what determines our shared experience. And so unless we can change our shared vibration, which starts with our individual vibration, right? We can't change the vibration of the many by ourselves, but you can change yours, and you can become a bright enough light that's going to shine light into other people's experiences. And they're going to ask you, right? You know, I don't have to talk anybody into anything anymore. And that was the mistake that I was making, was I was walking out and I was just trying to sell this shit to everybody. Right. And nobody wants, it's like a used car salesman. Like, nobody wants to be fucking sold on anything. But listen, if you shine bright enough, somebody's going to ask you what changed for you, or what are you doing? Right. And at that point, you're not selling anything.
No, right? you're telling a story.
Exactly. And if that story touches someone and they happen to go out immediately and buy themselves the fucking crystal, then, you know, that's money in the bank, and that's how we make a difference.
You telling your story definitely touched me deep.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, I felt it over here too.
I appreciate that.
I will make
you deep
whatever
you want.
Well,
that's a giggity. Where's the soundboard?
It's funny because when I first started talking to my girlfriend about energy, I didn't believe in energies at all, and this was merely 9-10 months ago. I didn't believe in any of that shit. And she was talking about energies and this and the trading effect and all this. And I'm like, cool. And then as we started, I'm pretty sure that's how I responded, which was not nice. But as we started going down months along the road, and this podcast picked up, and we started being able to talk to different people, Sam Tripoli and some of the other people that he was on recently, but some of the people that we've been able to have on, Lindsay Charming being one of the most influential in changing my mind about how you perceive all of these entities, because how, you know, what you were talking about with being raised that all of this stuff is taboo and crystals and it's dark magic and you should stay away from it and this, that, and the other, right alongside with Astrotheology by Micah Dank, and talking about how that's so separated in the realm of religion. All of these things end up tweaking my brain. The first time, and this is kind of, I wouldn't say it's an intimate, but it is for me because of what happened. It was probably 5 or 6 months ago. I was sitting on the couch with her, and we were really stoned, and we were trying to watch a movie. We weren't, though. And at one point she went like this and put her hand on my face. I have never felt an energy transfer that fucking hard. And I immediately recognized it as I went, it was like, it wasn't warm. It wasn't tingly. It was just like this, it was like it was going through my face and into my fucking brain. Right. And I didn't know how to handle it. I sat there and I was like, holy shit, I can feel that.
You need to give me the name of that weed.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask, like, did you have the same experience when she touched your penis? Was that not a bigger energy transfer?
No, it's pretty small.
All right. I mean, it's not like she has
surface area is a pretty.
There's not much to touch, guys. Like, come on. Anyway, but no, all shit aside, like, it was one of the first times that I No, you're fine. There's nothing there anyway. You can try to see it's not there. It was the first time that I'd ever felt something physical that was that, and it completely changed my mind on energies, because up until that moment, I was still kind of like on the fence about it. I'm like, yeah, all right. EMFs or whatever it was. As soon as that happened,
witch.
Whatever, you fucking witch, burn.
That's a sound clip right there.
I ended up telling her about it the next day. And I kind of just molded, I just kind of like skimmed over it really quick because it was still kind of tripping me out. And naturally, like Joe said, I was thinking, oh, I was just fucking high. And then a little bit later, I ended up thinking about it more. And I'm like, I actually think that that's what she thought. And I explained it all. And she's like, yeah, at that moment. And she explained her side of it, what she was thinking, what she was feeling, and what she was in her mind, like almost like sending me with that touch. And I was like, what the fuck? What universe is this? I've lived 30 years not believing or experiencing any of this shit. And then in like a year, all of this crazy shit, like you said, taboo stuff that we were not raised to even entertain. Yes, thank you, Joe and Jen. started happening. And that was the first time where I was like, holy shit, I came back to her later and I'm like, it's not being sold. I'm there now. Like I'm there believing in that now, because
you've been taught to perceive with your five senses is the problem. Right. You've been
right. My whole life. Yeah.
You feel something with your hands, right? Or you it's see real. Something with your eyes, and that's what makes something tangible. Right. That's what makes something real. And reality is a very relative, real is a very relative term, and it's subjective. And there are subtle energies that are very real that we're taught not taught to perceive them. We're taught that they don't exist, and that if you do perceive them, that you're crazy, and they'll medicate you, and they'll go to great lengths to make sure that you don't perceive these things. And you know, the biggest one, and one of the things that I really try to drive home, is fluorinated water. So the human brain is not capable of producing a thought. Okay, the human brain is an antenna. It's an amplifier of thought. Okay, your consciousness produces a thought, and it uses the brain via the pineal gland to project this thought into our physical experience. Right? What does fluorinated water do? First of all, the first time that fluorinated water was used was in the internment camps, because it made the prisoners docile. And then we used it in the prison system. Right. And then we used it in the prison system because it made the prisoners fight less and it made them easier to control.
And then they use it in boot camp.
In the water. It's in city water. It's everywhere. Right. And what it does more than anything is it calcifies your pineal gland. Now, I learned about fluoride through, I was on an antidepressant called Prozac for a long time. When I quit drinking, they filled me full of this
rough shit. Yeah.
And
some rough shit.
Yeah. It ruined my digestive tract. By the time I got to the hospital, I had 4 bleeding ulcers and 7 holes in my esophagus. I was 115 pounds and I literally crawled myself to the hospital.
A lot of holes, dude.
Yeah. And instead of them telling me this Prozac is fucking you up, they told me that I had anxiety and that's what was ruining my guts. And they upped my dose.
I was just about to say, they just gave you more, right? A whole lot of it.
And so I had gone from like a 20 milligram dose to like an 80 milligram dose over the course of like 4 months. And they told me that I was there. Well, it's okay. We can increase it, 'cause there's one more increase that we can give you before you're on the maximum dose. And I remember asking like, wait. So what happens when I take the maximum dose and then that's not working anymore? And they're like, oh, well, we'll couple it with this. And then it all clicked. And I'm like, no, dude, no, I'm not playing this. And so I decided I wanted to understand why Prozac worked. And so I research it. Well, what is Prozac? What is the main active ingredient in Prozac? Does anybody want to guess?
Is it an SSRI? I mean, there's a function, that's what it does, but I don't know what the
It's a bunch of fucking fluoride, dude.
Oh, shit.
That's all it is. It's a fluoride pill. Right. Wow. And fluoride is poison. Fluoride is poison. Right. And how many people got killed in World War I with chlorine gas? Right. And that's what we purify our water with. Right. And we're feeding our kids fluoride pills. And
they seem to do that a lot with medicines, where they're like, oh, it didn't work the first 2 shots. Let's give you another one. And then another one. Call back to this year. Yeah.
And then they give you, it'll create a side effect that they get to give you another prescription for. But here's the thing, in the early 1900s, I think it was 1917, the Rockefellers purchased all of the medical institutions, and they purchased all the pharmaceutical companies. So,
and
then
they
made, and they made holistic medication illegal, right? So they bought the pharmaceutical companies that made all the money from prescribing you non-holistic medication. And then they bought the institutions that taught you whether to or not to prescribe non-holistic medications, right? And then
alchemy, right?
Right. And then they made everything else illegal. So they taught all of their doctors to prescribe their drugs, and any alternatives were stripped of your license. And so now you've created this system where people who go to school because they want to help people are now these drug dealers who are taught to write prescriptions. That's what a doctor is taught to do. And here's a distinction that I try to draw as often as I have the opportunity. You can't be engaged in medicine and pharmacology at the same time. Speaking of poles, these are polar opposites, right? Medicine is to heal, right? Pharma is the roots of that word go back to witchcraft. It's keeping someone sick with using deception, right?
It's basically perpetuating sorcery, right?
Sickness. Pharmakia. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's perpetuating sickness through deception. And so, and they don't hide this from you. Again, they put it all right in front of you. The symbol for the pharmacy is a caduceus, which is what Hermes carried. It was the staff of Hermes, which is a very magical symbol. They're telling you that they're performing magic on you. I mean, and we have all heard of karma, right? And we've all heard of cosmic law. And a part of this is that if they don't want to create negative karma by doing fucked up shit to you, they have to tell you what they're going to do to you before they do it. Right. And at that point, yep. If they tell you what they're going to do to you, if they put it right in front of you and you don't stop them, then you have just offered your consent. And if you've offered your consent, then there's no negative karma associated with their actions. Right. So they put
according to their idea.
I know, but they're making it so comfortable for people to do that. That's what's so disgusting right now.
Right.
They're making it so easy for people to give their consent. It makes me so angry because they're just
down,
happy
then.
About it.
They've gotten really good at getting people to just freely give their consent away. So easy.
And then they're mad at us for not. I'm like, stop.
Well, and we something that I did a video on earlier that was why Matt and I from Great Deception, I think it was what landed me that interview, was I did a video about the three C's, and it was compliance, consent, and complicit. Right. So if you offer your compliance, if you comply with something that you don't believe in or you disagree with, then you have now given your consent. Right. And if you offer your consent, you're now complicit. Right. So people, it's really easy for people to say, like, how did we get here? Well, we got here because we complied. Right. It's that simple. The way that a very small group of people can control a very large group of people is with their compliance. It's that simple. You know, one person tells 10 people what to do. Those 10 people can rip that one person apart if they want to, but they've been convinced that they're powerless, right? And they've been convinced, they've been duped into handing over their rights. Just like they can't strip us of our rights. They can't, right? They are our natural rights, but they can convince us to forfeit them for whatever, whether you want to say it's for the greater good or whether it's for our protection or all these other lies that were sold, right? But every single aspect of this experience is consensual, right? I don't live in a viral pandemic because I don't accept that, right? I go to the store and I breathe air and I smile at the people that I walk by in there, and I'm right outside of Portland. That shit doesn't fly here, right?
No, the two different realities thing. You can be standing next to somebody who is living in a completely different fucking reality, like in their brain. Their perception is so far removed that they're in a different world.
I had a guy
You're in World War II Austria up there.
Yeah. I had a guy follow me out of the store the other night because I wasn't wearing a mask. And he's like, you're the reason that we still have to wear masks. And I'm like, wait a second. I, the dude who won't put a mask on, is the reason that you, the dude who just complies with everything he's told to do, have to wear a mask. Like, how do you, the mental gymnastics that someone has to be willing to perform to make that make sense is wild to me. And these people
and accept and comply with.
Right. And they're ready to die on that sword. And it's like, I'm sitting here on a mission to try and liberate a people that think I'm the fucking problem. Right.
But you have to do it in the best way. You have to do it real kind of sneaky. It sounds bad, but you can't just be like, no, it's crazy. Like, this isn't, you have to do it with kindness.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. You know, like, I was having a really great conversation with a work colleague at a party a few weeks ago, having a great conversation, this and that, like, not bringing any of this stuff up. And then, like, the vaccine thing came out. I'm like, no, I'm not vaccinated. And she, like, it's like she took a step back, like literally and like emotionally and everything.
Yeah.
Like, I just told her, like, I was, like, the son of Satan or something.
Yeah.
You just stopped her brain.
And her shit works so good that it doesn't work unless you get yours.
Wait, you guys aren't vaccinated? What the fuck, man?
Sorry,
I got my third booster shot yesterday. What the hell?
I see Kyle's posts all the times, though, too, like, about how you talk about you hang out with people who are vaccinated and unvaccinated. Yeah. That's okay. We do the same thing at our house. We're like, you're welcome to come to our house.
Right.
We don't care what your vaccine status is here at all. We don't even choose to pay attention to that. Like, right, we right. don't give Boom. Our attention to that.
And like, and like it confuses people because they expect people that are unvaccinated to be like these crazy Alex Jones type people. It's like, no, I'm just a person. I'm just
that's
a person.
What they propagated.
We're just the same people. And I was actually able to have a really good conversation with this person. And we both brought up a lot of good points. It was a great conversation. But like, just the initial like, whoa, like you're a fucking Mars person was just like, it's funny to me.
Right. And I just believe that, and here's what I will say to anybody that tries to give me medical advice, right? And here's the thing is most of the people that try to offer me medical advice are like, clearly not people that I want to be taking medical advice from. So when the 500 pound person is screaming at me about what I need to put on my face or put in my body, it's like, listen, exactly. dude, although you look like just an exemplary model of good health, I think that I'm okay doing what I'm doing. But like, I believe that I can make an educated decision based on research that I have done as far as what should happen with my body, right? And I think that you should do some research, and I think that you should make an educated decision based on the research that you did. And I think that you should make peace with that decision. I think I should make peace with my decision and my decision.
And it is your decision to right. do so.
Right. right. I believe that the human organism is a symbiotic organism, right? And as long as I keep my symbiotic organism in a state of homeostasis, right? And I can do that by maintaining a healthy pH level, by maintaining a healthy diet, by exercising, by breathing oxygen, and by maintaining a happy and uplifting and positive vibration, that I don't have to fear some invisible enemy. Right. And there's also these things that the human body produces that are called antibodies. And I know that this is fringe science now, but like,
oh, yeah.
We're getting the platform now. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let the body do its job, man. And if you want to modify your body because you don't have faith in its ability to take care of itself, like it has for thousands of years before this, through thousands of other bullshit pandemics that we've experienced, then you're free to do that, right? But don't tell me what I'm supposed to do with my body because you want to listen to the black box that you hang on the wall, right? Because that's you can tell exactly how many research hours somebody has and how much fluoride they drink by the way that they respond to facts, right? Because facts are really scary, and facts are like, they get really emotional when facts are used, right? And facts are mean now, right? I was oh, raised. Yeah.
Facts are basically facts are just, fake news now.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And opinions matter way more than facts now. And how did we get to where LeBron James is going to tell me what to do with my body? Like,
because he's in how to vote. He's the goat. Duh.
Right. This idol worship that we're experiencing right now.
Good point.
Is wild. And you know, I've seen people that artists that I really enjoy, and I've seen them get eaten by the machine. And the example right now that's coming to mind is Machine Gun Kelly, right? I don't know if anybody has seen what's gone on with him over the last year, but he was like punk rock.
Now he's banging hotter and hotter chicks every day. Well, man.
And you see what he's wearing, and you see he has gone from like this just the definition of free soul punk rock to a total tool, man. Like he and yeah, Megan Fox was hot before she, I don't know what she's done to herself at this point.
Oh yeah, she's I guess I haven't the recent pictures. She's had some work done.
She's rough, dude. She's rough. And you can tell that everything that he is saying and everything that he's wearing and every narrative that he's pushing is coming from some higher up. And he's, don't get me wrong, he's being rewarded for it. He's got tons of money. He's constantly touring. He's on, you know, every major show and every award ceremony that there is, but he's traded his, who he was, to be this idol. And to be this idol means that you are no longer making decisions for yourself anymore. You're perpetuating a narrative. And that's how you can
you could almost say he made a Faustian bargain and sold his soul.
He didn't right. almost. I was hesitant to take it there, but yeah, Oops. Dude sold his soul. And you can make that as practical or as woo-woo as you want to. If you are not making decisions for yourself and you're living based on direction from an entity outside of yourself, then one could argue that you are no longer yours and that you sold your soul, right? Or you could take it to where he made a deal with an entity that is not human and is being controlled and rewarded by said entity. And if you think that this whole, and I don't like to use the word Satan or devil, because religion has taken the word Satan and the word devil and the word Baphomet and the word Lucifer, and they've combined them all into this one thing that we're all supposed to be afraid of, even though when you do the research, Lucifer was one being and Satan was one being, and the Baphomet is totally unrelated to the devil. The Baphomet is a symbol that the Templars worshipped that represents duality, right? And then you have the devil, which is this thing that has been this boogeyman that's been created and perpetuated by collective belief in this, in this, this thing that was meant to put people in a box. And so, but there is non-human influence that exists on this plane, right? And there is where the humans, right, the common folk are cattle, right? And this plane that we exist in, that this currency bounces around it. And here's the thing, like if the money stops moving, this whole game is over. Like all the money goes to the lumber company, and then the lumber company gives all the money to the oil company, and then the oil companies give all the money to the food companies, and then they just pass around this big bag of money. And if it stops anywhere, everything falls apart. And so this whole thing is a big charade. It's all just a play, and there's all these actors that are playing, and we even call our laws acts, right? Yeah. Like all of this is a show. And I think that at the end, the whether it's the left wing or the right wing or the good guys or the bad guys, I think everybody bows together. I think that this is this experience is engineered, and the main focus of this engineering is to perpetuate these low vibrations that so many of us get stuck in all the time. But as far as esoteric knowledge that is considered taboo by the common folk, this is common knowledge to the elites or to the people. I don't like to call them elites because elites don't hide. They don't need
parasite class.
Yeah, exactly. But they all practice magic. They all understand. And not just, I'm not just talking about Harry Potter magic, because Harry Potter fantasticizes magic so that we don't realize that magic is in front of us all the time, right? Crowley said that magic was just someone to produce change in conformance with will, right? So you being able to manifest something, or you being able to change something's frequency or change something vibration, these are all forms of magic. You being able to say one thing and have it mean something different is word magic, right? So there's lots of different kinds of magic, but we're shown Harry Potter where he's got like laser beams shooting out of the end of his wand, and so you think that that's what magic is, and you think that it's all fake. But a lot of
that's why that shit was so popular. Sorry.
Right.
But
no,
that goes right along with all the pre-programming that we talked about, where they take an idea that's real, whether it be aliens or magic or any of this other stuff, the Matrix, sim theory, any of it. And what they do is they put
Men
it
in, Black. In
Men in Black. They put it into a film with the idea of fantasizing it so that it looks ridiculous, so that you immediately cast out the entire idea as not true.
Right. And yeah, you look ridiculous if you're like, no, Men in Black are a real thing. They're like, that was a movie, dude. You're stupid.
Because they put it in this tiny little box, and everyone has to have a little box. And inside that little box is exactly what the narrative is. And it's this and this and this and this. And if you break out of that and say, dude, this might be real, I don't know. People are like, oh, you're insane. And then you also have to not care about what those people say. Go ahead.
And Harry Potter, really, you know, aside the magic piece of it, it's really about a very secret society of people that do not want anybody else to know what they're doing. Like, that's when you really boil it down. It's really
keep the muggles in the dark.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with magic at all, if you really think about it, like, because they get so pissed whenever, like, oh my god, a few people found out about our little thing. It's like, it's right. Like us, like, we know about these people's thing, and they fucking hate us for it. That's really what it's about.
Why do you think we're being censored left and right?
Yeah, we're totally muggles. Oh well, we're muggles. Learning, we're just getting in. Wow. I don't know, what house do you think we'd all be in? We can take the test online. They tell us that. They're like, what house would you be in? Slytherin? Like, who fucking cares?
And you have to sign up for that shit. My friend tried to make me do it, and it was like, you have to give your email and your phone number.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, fuck that.
Really? That's a form of consent, crazy. Friend.
And
be
honestly,
careful.
I never, like, got into Harry Potter. I was always like, this is for nerds. And my biggest thing with Harry Potter is, like, when adults who are, like, 35 and older use it to, like, describe their lives, like, oh, when Harry did this or when Hermione did that.
Wow,
it really spoke to me.
Wait, you know adults like that? Right, that's fucking crazy. I think that's great.
People I like yeah, people I work with, and it's like
the movies ruined it. The books came out when I was in middle school, and they were fantastic, man. For a seventh grader, Harry Potter was like. Plus, I was grounded to my room for my entire childhood, so 800 pages was like exactly what I needed. Like, give me a Harry Potter book.
Girl, that's like 2 days.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Well, until you got hooked, and then it was. I think I read the last one. It was 800 or 900 pages, and I put it down in like 14 hours.
My God!
You know, that's really a lot of grounding to those of us who can't read.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Well, oh, and you're here's the thing: if it makes you feel any better, reading is the scenic route. Like, as great as reading is, or as great as researching is, like, once you're in tune with the universe, I'm at the point right now where. If I want to understand something, and I realized recently, I was just talking about this earlier, like most of the research that I've done over the last year has been to validate shit that I already knew that I received through divine channels, right? Like I get, people call them downloads is the easiest way to explain what I'm talking about. But
that's the most woo-woo way to say it, but we accept it. I know what you're talking about.
I just know shit, dude. I don't know how to describe it outside of that. Like I get these big gnosis dumps and something will land in my head that I have a hard time accepting. And so I'll spend 100 or 120 hours researching it just to find out that I wasn't wrong. And how I proved this to myself was through, like I told you, I went from not ever holding a crystal to writing blogs for one of the larger crystal companies in the country in 8 months, right? And I'm writing about history from 25,000 years ago and the creation of moldavite and how it happens and where it's from and statues that were found that I've never read about. You know what I mean? Like I'm writing about shit that I've never encountered in research before. And a lot of the research that I did was to try and make sure I wasn't full of shit. And I'm at a point right now where when I have something that I'm working through, whether it's an idea or it's a question, I'll go to bed and I'll put it into the ether and the shit lands in my skull, man. It's wild. And I realized that a lot of the research hours that I was putting in were just to legitimize shit that doesn't need legitimized. And so a lot of the history that I talk about that's alternate that I talk with people who are very well researched in it is the same history. I mean, I go pretty hard with Matt about the old world and Tartaria and the world fairs and stuff. And this is all stuff that has landed in my skull, man. And people try
to call me. You have a thought boomerang.
Well, that's it. That's exactly how I described it earlier. Like I throw the question out and the answer lands back in my brain. And it's something that took me a long time to figure out. And when you try to replicate a metaphysical experience, it's not going to happen, right? Like you can't have an experience and then go sit down and try to have the same experience. And so understanding the mechanics of how something like that works and being able to perpetuate this flow of gnosis, because the different gnosis is a word that I like to use because it is knowledge that's received through divine channels. So the gnosis comes from the Gnostics, which come from the Gnosians, right? Who was a civilization that lived like I think 12,500 years ago. It was matriarchal, the women were in control. And I've got a theory that a lot of the bloodlines that we talk about aren't actually run by the men. Like I think it's the women who are carrying the sacred bloodlines and they're
it makes sense that they inverted that too and called it the patriarchy when it's really the women running everything. I knew it was women all along.
Women should be in charge, dude. I'm not like a male feminist or anything, but listen, men are supposed to be the savages that go and are lopping heads off on the field of battle. Like, you can't have the same guy that you want to be crazy and go lopping heads be the same guy that decides whose head needs to be lopped off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like I could do both. No. I'm just saying.
She goes, that guy, and the guy comes and does it.
But I'm fine with a woman or a feminine perspective. And here's the thing, a woman isn't the only one who can produce a feminine perspective. Like gender is bigger than sex. And we're not going gender spectrum here. Okay, that's not what I'm taking this.
It's fluid, so I'm told.
But, right. But like everything has, every action is either a feminine or a masculine action. And so we talked about before, like the left side is the feminine side of the body and the right side is the masculine side of the body. So your right side is your export. When you're transferring energy, if you're trying to charge a crystal with your intention, or you're trying to charge an object or send something, you're going to do it with your left hand, right? Whereas if you're trying to intake something, you're going to do it, or you're going to do it with your right hand, excuse me. If you're trying to take something in, you're going to do it with your left hand, the left side of your body, because masculine is to export and feminine is to receive. And so reservation is a feminine trait, whereas action is a masculine trait. So you can come at something from a feminine perspective or a feminine point of view, or you can take feminine action without being a female, right? This is why our culture tries so hard to make you think that like a man isn't supposed to experience emotions. And, you know, this is the American man, and this is who you need to be, is to keep you from realizing that what makes you a powerful being is uniting these feminine and masculine traits, right? Because when you take both of those things, and they're yin and yang is how it's taught.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, men produce testosterone and estrogen, women produce testosterone and estrogen.
Right. And too much of either is a problem.
Yeah, it's a balance.
Like exactly. It's polarizing, though. It's two There's ends of yeah, yeah. It's polarizing. It's like right. Men, women, yin, yang. Learn to find the red, middle blue. Ground and not care so much about what either end is. I mean, maybe respect both ends, but find the middle ground.
Do you, right?
Yeah,
is the thing. And like, there are a lot of people that we talked about a little bit on the podcast. Like, there are a lot of people that would look at me and see me as pretty feminine. I got crystals hanging off me. Like and I'm fine with that. I don't have like a super deep voice. I don't have an aggressive personality. I'm very confident, energy about me, but I don't try to be intimidating or imposing. In fact, I try to appear passive, part of which is like some art of war shit. Like I'm fine with appearing weak, right. Right. I'm yeah. absolutely fine with that.
Absolutely.
But, and then people find out that I fought MMA for 4 years and I trained with Randy Couture and I trained, you know, and
hell
so
yeah.
I,
that's badass,
I,
dude.
I got punched in the face by Ed Herman and Chris Laban. And, so like, I'm not, you can appear as one thing and be something completely different, or you can be both and appear as neither. Right?
Did you get
and
to punch so, them in the face too?
I got to try.
Okay,
that'd be
enough.
A hard thing to
I
do
got to try so
no, just to get punched in the face by them is an honor.
They liked me because I didn't complain.
Absolutely.
So my stepdad whooped my ass pretty well. There's another thing, like transmuting negatives into positives, right? Like I got made pretty tough when I was a kid. And when people like hear my story and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry you had to go through that, the thing is, like, don't be. I'm not sorry, you know?
Right. Right.
I at 17, I had been taught to fear no human, right? Like whatsoever. And I didn't use that well. I had little man syndrome for a long time. Like I was the kid that if you took me to a party, it wasn't if I was gonna fight, it was who I was gonna fight, when I was gonna fight, and how many times I was gonna fight at the party. And a lot of people have a hard time believing that based on my demeanor now, but it's like
What brought you to the demeanor
right,
now.
Right.
And that is what brought you
there. I validated myself then was I was in fight or flight mode all the time as a child, right? Like I was wondering how it wasn't if I was going to get my ass kicked. It was how bad I was going to get my ass kicked and how many times I was going to get my ass kicked tonight. And so how I took control over a situation was to deliver the ass whooping, right? And that is what gave me validation. And I associated people larger than myself with my stepdad. And so I wanted to kick their ass, right? To prove that I wasn't the little man in the room anymore and that I didn't have to live in fear. And it took me a long time to realize that I didn't have to punch somebody in the face to earn their respect, that I didn't have to punch somebody in the face to earn my respect, right?
And sometimes, sometimes
there's a time and a place for everything, friend.
It's a balance.
And the fact that I don't doesn't mean I can't or, right. or don't know how anymore.
That just shows the level of control that you have. The higher tier that you go into being able to deliver an ass whooping and choose not to when you know you could,
right.
It's like those are the scariest motherfuckers out there, because you're like, you could like wrap me up like a pretzel, throw me out the window and then shit on me, and you're choosing not to,
but you're not.
That's
yeah.
terrifying.
I'll try really hard to avoid it. And you know, like the thing that what I say now is like, listen, I won't start a fight, but I have no problem finishing one. Like,
finishing it. That's right.
If I am put in a position where it's myself or someone else, I have no problem choosing me 10 times
absolutely.
Out of 10, you know, and I'm not going to lose any sleep over that.
I have less of a problem when it comes to defending somebody else, way more than I am standing up for myself when it comes to that, because in my opinion, I'm like, yeah, okay, you're going to kick my ass. I really don't give a shit. But at the same time, it's like, if they're picking on somebody else, that's when the flame gets caught for me, is because I'm like, look, stop.
Right. We're all like, adults, so we're literally never, ever in these situations, like ever. Hardly right ever. Now, like ever.
Oh, now
it's more of a mental battle.
I may or may not have gotten punched in the face 3 or 4 times for not wearing a mask around Christmas.
Oh
last
shit!
Year. What? That's how buck people are around here.
You're in Portland.
I got told at my Fred Meyers that if I got into another fist fight in Fred Meyers, I wasn't allowed to shop in there anymore. And he's like, listen, dude, I know it's not you. And I had a pretty good relationship with this manager because we had this routine where like I'd walk in there, and some do-gooder would come and tell me how it was my fault that everything was the way that it was and that I needed to put on a mask. And then I would tell them, listen, like, say what you want, Karen. I believe in your right to free speech just as much as I believe in my right to oxygen. So you can call me whatever you want. You know, if this is what's going to make you enjoy your shopping experience, then please call me a piece of shit, right? But you're not going to put that thing on my face. There's nothing that can come out of your mouth that is going to make me wear that diaper. Sure. And then they would go get the manager, right? And this would happen almost every time I went to the store, and they would tell the manager to tell me to put on a mask, right? And then the manager would explain to them that he couldn't make me put on a mask. And then he would say that I had a medical exemption, which was total bullshit. But there was this whole rigmarole that we went through, and the manager and I kind of bonded through it, right? Like, he was like, listen, I don't want to make you put this shit on, right? I won't make you put it on, but if you keep getting into fist fights while I'm working, like, I can't let you in here anymore. And the logic and the mental gymnastics that someone has to do to say, okay, I'm mad at you. I'm afraid of you because I think you're perpetuating a sickness by not wearing a face covering, but I'm going to touch you physically. Right.
And yeah, it's ridiculous.
Wrestle and make around you bleed.
With you, right. And then try to make me bleed my own blood on you. Right. I can't make it work in my head. And like, I'm really calm about it. I'll be like, listen, dude, I really appreciate what you're trying to do, right? Let's talk viral pathology, right? Because this is something that I've studied extensively and you haven't. So Ooh. Why don't we talk about what this is and how big a pathogen is? And then we can talk about the viscosity of what can fit through the mask, right? And then we can talk about what it says on the back of that box of masks that you bought to put on there, right? And then we can talk about the satanic rituals that involve wearing a face covering and standing 6 feet apart. And we can talk about the graphene and the fluoride that have been tested in these blue masks that are handed out for free and what breathing that does. We can talk about the harm of carbon dioxide. Like, this is a conversation I'd love to have. So why don't you sit down and have a seat, right? Hold on to something and I'll tell you some truth really quick. And no one is willing
they're
to
never
do that.
Willing
no they
it's fake
do that.
News yeah. no even, they're just like they're programmed yeah. to hate you they're
it's
programmed
opinion.
To hate everything
well, that's
you're
your
saying.
Opinion that's your opinion
even,
no that's
even
not my
if they,
opinion
even
this
if they
science.
Did sit down even if they did sit down they would just call you a domestic terrorist and a racist by the end anyway so
yeah see I'm in Oregon so I Kate Brown the governor here just made all anti-government rhetoric domestic terrorism so
right.
Me
what?
Saying that I disagree with something that this dictator thinks that she can just mandate into statute, right?
Or is, speak and spell into existence.
Yeah, is terrorism. And it's like, okay, I'll wear that hat. Sure. Like and I've had my neighbors like, dude, we got to stop talking about this stuff. Like, you know, these phones are bugged. And I'm like, the fuck we do, man. Like, no,
who cares?
No, that's letting them win. If somebody wants to come, listen, as love and light as I am, right? And I, everything that I do, including the ass whooping that I'm willing to deliver is going to come from a place of love. Right, I'm gonna tell you I love you while I'm whooping your ass.
I love you.
Yeah, exactly. This is because I love you. Like, this is a bad house to try to run into with bad intention, right? I talk about all my friends are crystals and pistols, and
ooh, that's the name of a podcast right there. Crystals and pistols.
That's this episode, I think.
The Second Amendment is very real in this house, right? And I don't
very.
Post my stuff. I'm not one of those guys that wears my body armor on Instagram, but like,
oh my God,
I've got some commando shit, man. And I hope that I never have to use it. I hope that I'm just that crazy guy with shit that I don't need. And I've got my emergency food and I've got my emergency water and my emergency fuel, and I'm freaking ready, man. Whatever happens, I'm ready. And so if somebody wants to come, that's fine, but they need to come hard and they need to come fast and they need to come ready, right? Because I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Attaboy.
Big dumb in the house.
I am going to do what I am going to do, right? And I'm not going to do anything that is going to harm another life, right? Or affect anybody's life in a negative way, okay? But I am going to express myself how I see fit. And what I do is not dictated by law or mandate or public opinion, right?
Which is the definition of human rights and freedom. Something correct. That everybody is screaming about during this whole thing. Even people that are on the other side of the aisle, they're talking about, like, you have people like Bill Maher, who are huge public figures with huge public platforms, and he has recently been self-describing himself as an old school liberal, which is now becoming a more common term because it's literally the opposite of right. everything that we're seeing today. He even said it on exactly. a thing I shared on Facebook where he said, what is the point of calling yourself a liberal if you're not letting liberal. People live the way that they yeah. want to live it? He yeah. goes, that is literally the definition of liberalism, and we've moved away from it. Well, right. and really quick, I got to jump off here, guys. I got to get to work at 4:30 in the morning, and I got some stuff to do. It was an amazing chat with all of you guys.
We got to wrap up too over here. Yeah, we got kids too. That got to go to bed and all that shit. But dude, Jeff, killing it. This was probably absolutely. The biggest banger we've ever done. Kyle's, both Kyle's and Pud's. Pudsy. We're going to have you back on for another one because.
Oh, dude, this was great. This was fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, anytime I'm down.
Yeah, of course.
I love it.
A lot.
And then Hatter, dude, we got to get you on our show too sometime. I'll hit you up on the IG.
Find me. I will make the time. I'll make the
thanks,
time.
Dude. I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll make that work. And legit bad guys. Thanks so much.
Always
Kyle,
thanks for coming
always
on.
Good
course.
To see you, dude. Always good to see another Kyle in the house.
Give us your plugs real quick before you get out. Big Dumb, we'll start with you guys, move down to Conspiracy Kyle, and then over to Jeff. So give us your shit.
Yeah, Big Dumb Podcast. Check it out anywhere you've listened to podcasts. We have t-shirts now, which is cool. Check it out.
Woo!
And
I ordered one.
I know. I can't wait for you to get sick. It, dude. And we're working on stuff, dude. So just you check us out. We're growing slowly but surely. And thank you guys for having us on. It's always great.
Much like your penis.
Dude, I wish.
Hopefully. Needs all the help he can get.
Grows really fast and shrinks really fast. It's
yeah.
It's the one thing action. That Puds has said this entire fucking episode, and it's on that. That's awesome.
Oh man.
All right, Kyle.
That's amazing.
Conspiracy Kyle. That Kyle.
Yeah.
Give
yeah,
us your
absolutely.
Plugs, bud.
Thank you so much for having me on. So Conspiracy in the Force. You can find the podcast everywhere. Jeff, I'll be hitting you up as well because there's a lot of crystal stuff with Star Wars and lightsabers and colors that I want to get into with you. So yeah. Dude, awesome stuff tonight. This has been mind blowing for real.
Yeah.
Show me one sci-fi movie where there's not some sacred crystal from the past. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're trying to locate or tap into the powers of it's all. It's
look
all
at
there,
the entire
man.
Look at the entire series of Final Fantasy. It's all yeah. based on crystals.
Or like Superman, right?
Yeah.
Moldavite is kryptonite, right? And
saw some
his
of that
name
today.
Is Kal-El, right? Is his real name. El is angel. So. All of the archangels have L at the end of their name. Michael, Raphael, Azrael,
Samael.
L is of God. Yeah, L is of God. And so,
Emmanuel,
Kyle.
And so, all of
Kyle.
The people from Superman's planet are L's. All
did you give us your plugs,
history,
Kyle?
Dude.
I did.
Oh, okay. And then Jeff?
Yeah, man.
Did that happen?
Hatter
I mean, you just
help,
have a couple.
Or Hatter will happen on... Instagram that's,
he'll
that's
help
where
too.
I'm at right now that was my old page, it got shadow banned, and so oh. Hatter Will Happen was my response to the shadow ban.
Perfect.
But it's Hatter_Will_Happen. I just got my podcast all set up. It's going to be called Tea with the Hatter, so keep an eye out for that.
Oh hell awesome. Yeah
trying to get that going, but I've been recording like 3 episodes a week on other people's podcasts. So getting mine done has been kind of a second priority.
Well, we appreciate you making the time and coming on tonight, man.
I appreciate the hospitality, man. It was great chatting with you guys. And if you ever want to do this again, let me know and we'll make it happen.
Oh, we will.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I was just talking
so
with Matt from Great Deception. We're going to have you on for a show about the World's Fair and Tartaria and all that crazy shit, because that is a different different thing entirely, but something I want to go into more.
Yeah, and I gotta get in with you on that.
Absolutely, man. We can talk about some of the energy devices I make and how they work and where that came from and how that ties into Egypt and how Egypt ties into America. And
yeah, fire.
There's some meat on that bone for sure.
Fire.
All right, you guys. Everybody have a great night. Thank you for joining the live stream. If you're watching on Rockfin, we appreciate it. If you're listening on the audio, the video is on Rockfin. You know this by now. Thank you to Big Dumb, Conspiracy in the Force, Jeff, a.k.a. Hatter Will Help and Happen. And this is Legit Bat saying goodnight for today.
Much love.
Thank you, everybody.
Peace.
How are you guys?
We're good.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.